Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Siderick. It's Wednesday, time to talk sports. Today we're going to focus on the story of former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez. Hernandez's lawyer, Jose Baez, has a new book out. It's titled Unnecessary Roughness, Inside the Trial and the Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. It was released yesterday and, perhaps unsurprisingly, paints a very different picture of Hernandez. The book comes as the Boston Globe's noted spotlight team is hard at work on a new podcast that will explore the Hernandez saga, set to be released sometime this fall. Ben Volen is a senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe and part of the team working on that podcast, and he joins us now. Ben, welcome to Radio Boston.
Chris, thank you so much for having me today.
So we'll get to the Baez book in a minute. I know you got an advanced copy, but before we jump right into that, I want to ask you about kind of the Hernandez story as a whole. The Spotlight team, obviously best known for exposing the Catholic Church abuse scandal. They focus on true, deep investigative reporting. What was it about the Hernandez story that you guys thought would make a good topic to explore?
And first of all, I'm not part of the Spotlight team as much as I would like to be. I'm a contributor to this certain project, so I just want to be clear about that. However, this is such a fascinating cross-section of murder and intrigue and celebrity and professional sports. And when do you ever see an athlete in the prime of his career, really just entering the prime of his career, a $40 million contract, 23 years old, throw it all away and be convicted of murder and then be involved in a second murder trial where he was eventually found not guilty? But it's just, you know, you have O.J. Simpson, that might be the only comparable, but he was 20 years retired at that point. Aaron Hernandez is just such a captivating and in some ways tragic figure in that he threw everything away, and obviously his life ended very young at age 27. And then you throw in another cross-section of the CTE angle. Aaron was found posthumously to have stage 3 CTE. It's the most advanced form they've ever found in someone of his age. And I think it certainly needs to be investigated further and researched further. What kind of role does CTE play in someone's behavior, and why did Aaron develop such an advanced stage of CTE as well? So I think there's just so many different angles to this story that make it such a fascinating topic.
Is there a singular kind of line or theme that follows through the podcast as you kind of explore the story, or is it kind of a mosaic of all these different issues?
Yeah, I believe, again, I've just been a part of it. I had sat down for a long interview of the podcast, but I'm not part of the production side. But I do believe it's trying to just tell the most complete picture yet of Aaron Hernandez. And I believe it's kind of like a serial type podcast where it's going to go through the true crime elements of probably all the various cases, and certainly the one where he was found not guilty of the double murder, and that one never really got solved. So I think they're going to look deeply into some of the evidence there and some of the stories swirling around Hernandez and his off-field life and what led him down this road of crime here in his young life. So it's going to be a very fascinating listen. It comes out sometime during the beginning of the football season, September, October, somewhere in there. And, you know, having not seen it fully, I do know the Spotlight team, certainly they always come together with some good projects.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you obviously got an advanced copy of the Baez book. This was kind of an interesting angle, because obviously we've heard the narrative that's been told. This is told by somebody who clearly has an interest in defending Hernandez, so you have to take things with a grain of salt. But what did you take out of the book? Was there anything new that you learned, anything interesting that jumped out?
Certainly, take it with a grain of salt is a good way I would put it. You know, I was going into this book hoping for some clarity on Aaron Hernandez and who he was, and certainly Jose Baez does definitively tell you certain things. You know, he quashes the rumor about some of the jailhouse letters and some of the rumors about Aaron Hernandez, but you walk away from the book feeling more conflicted than ever, not knowing what to believe anymore about Aaron Hernandez. And that's, frankly, a testament to Jose Baez and his ability to create reasonable doubt. He has alternative theories for everything, for the shooting in West Palm Beach where Hernandez's friend lost his eye, and for the shooting in Gainesville when Aaron was in college. And he has alternative theories for the double murder. And he believes that if he were representing Aaron Hernandez on the Odin Lloyd case, he could have created enough reasonable doubt and got him off that one as well. And
Did you find any of it believable as you're going through it? Or?
Some of it is certainly eye roll inducing. there was one anecdote where while Aaron was at college, his coach Urban Meyer was so incensed with Aaron and his reckless disregard of the rules that he wanted to kick Aaron off the team. But Tim Tebow stepped in and said, if you kick Aaron off, then you have to kick me off too. And so Urban Meyer relented and then said, but you have to leave the program after the season no matter what. So that one, I said to Jose straight up, I said, I'm having a hard time believing that one. And his answer was, well, you know, I can only go by what Aaron told me. So that's what a lot of it, you know, Jose Baez passing along what Aaron Hernandez told to him without much scrutiny. So, but, you know, so he does a good job of creating some reasonable doubt about a lot of different events in Aaron's life. And frankly, you just don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah. You mentioned the CTE at the top. One of the things I was struck by that I've come across in reading about what's in the book, the suicide letters that Baez published. Three letters, one to Baez, one to Hernandez's fiance, and one to Hernandez's daughter. Some troubling stuff in there, kind of not much time, I'm being called, do not go back to living while worshiping false idols, it's time, the real live forever. What did you take out of those?
Baez published the three letters, quashing one of the rumors that one of them was for Aaron's jailhouse lover, which turned out to be a total hoax, a guy looking for a payout, basically. The letter to Jose Baez was more upbeat and positive and did not have the trappings of a suicide note. But then the notes to his fiance and to his daughter, you could tell, were certainly ominous and something that Aaron had been thinking about for a while. And it's another fascinating angle of the story is that it had come on the heels just 5 days later after he had been acquitted of the double murder. And finally, there's a ray of sunshine. Jose Baez was about to tackle his mandatory appeal on the Odin Lloyd murder. And certainly he was facing high odds, but at least he had a glimmer of hope at that point. And that's when he decided to end his life, which, again, is just another element of intrigue and mystery to this whole story. So it's, you know, so publishing the jailhouse letters was certainly a fascinating play by Jose Baez.
And now you covered Hernandez all the way back to the days at the University of Florida.
Correct.
Was there any inclination that he might kill himself, or were you completely surprised when that news broke?
I was definitely taken aback when that news broke. Certainly, you know, a kid in his
obviously facing
someone in his position where he's facing life in jail, and you know how you've thrown it all away, and you had everything, you're living the professional athlete life, and now here you are in a 17x12 cell. So I can certainly understand why he would kill himself, and I'm a little baffled why he wasn't on further suicide watch and wasn't being monitored closely. Just the whole episode is obviously shocking. You know, there's a lot of innuendo from Jose Baez that the Patriots kind of knew what kind of person Hernandez was, and I think that's true. I think we all knew that he was running with the wrong crowd and was not exactly a Boy Scout off the field, but I can't imagine anyone knew he was capable of murder, which he was convicted of, and no one knew the full extent of it.
Right.
And you never expect someone in his position with the contract and everything ahead of him to just so carelessly and recklessly be willing to throw it all away. So everyone was just so taken aback when he was directly charged with murder the first time.
You mentioned the role of the team there. I know there was an excerpt in the book where Baez mentions that Hernandez was actually looking for a trade because he had received death threats. And I know Baez kind of questions, well, what could have happened? You're a senior NFL writer for the Globe. Have you ever heard of a player requesting a trade for any kind of scenario like that where they feared for their life?
That's a new one for me. Again, it's what makes this such a remarkable episode. So the story that Jose Baez presents is that Aaron Hernandez was getting these threatening text messages from his friend whom he allegedly shot in the face, and he said he feared for his life, and he went to Belichick and requested a trade, said, please trade me to the West Coast, far away from here. And supposedly Belichick was incensed by the idea. We've invested a lot of money into you, a $40 million contract. We have big plans to make you the centerpiece of our offense, you and Rob Gronkowski. So Bill Belichick did not entertain it, and he said, go see our director of security, get a secondary residence where you can hide out or whatever. And that's how Belichick decided to handle it. And, you know, I don't necessarily blame him that you can't have players be dictating, you know, what they – but so anyway, so Jose Baez in the book says, well, what – you know, he blames the Patriots and Belichick for not taking it seriously and how things would have changed had they done that and traded Aaron away. Well – again, I don't think Belichick ever expected it to end the way it did.
Sure, sure. Gives you a little glimpse into kind of some of the stuff that Hernandez was dealing with, though. Well, that's Ben Volen. He's the senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Chris,
today.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell. Tim Skog is our technical director. We had engineering help today from Eddie Mazulis. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathai. I'm Chris Siderick. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.